Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
On 2UE, George and Paul's Crime File.
And today it's the most dangerous man in Australia.
Yes, back in 1993, I wrote this story in my first book called Never to be Released, but something happened this week to bring it back to mind, so today we're going to have a look at the most dangerous man in Australia. In Brisbane in August 1989, Francis James Carter was sentenced to life imprisonment for bashing a man to death with a baseball bat. The victim's crime was that he spoke to Carter's girlfriend at a barbecue. Terrible crime. Carter then cut his victim's throat and cut his fingers off with a bolt cutter, with the girlfriend's assistant, I might add, and buried the corpse in a shallow grave. In January 1990, Carter stabbed a prisoner to death in jail and was sentenced to another life sentence. This time the judge, Mr. Justice De Jersey, recommended that Carter never be released. In July 1991, Carter led a mass breakout from Moreton Jail with eight other convicts, including two murderers, and they all escaped. All were recaptured within days, and Queensland Police named Carter as the most dangerous man in Australia. Stay away from him. Anyway, Frank Carter was 34 when he bashed Philip Harold Clayton to death with a baseball bat. Carter had a long criminal record and was known to be extremely dangerous when he was drunk. He and Clayton had been drinking all day at a barbecue at Carter's house. Carter's girlfriend, Carmel Eva Horton, told Carter that Clayton was trying to chat her up. Carter told Horton to get a baseball bat and asked Clayton to meet him in the garage. Carter then smashed his friend's head and body with repeated blows with the bat, cut his throat with a butcher's knife, and with Carmel Horton's help, cut off Clayton's fingers with a bolt cutter. Giving evidence at his trial, Carter said that he went into a frenzy after Horton told him that Clayton had tried to crack onto her. Carmel said that he was trying to chat her up, Carter said in evidence. I was a bit annoyed with Carmel for telling me that. If you say the wrong thing to me when I've been drinking, I am capable of anything. I picked up the bat, baseball bat, then I hit him. I lost control. I realised I'd gone too far when I slit his throat. There you go. Realised he'd gone a bit too far when he slit his mate's throat. Jeez. I cannot sleep at night most nights. Phil is on my mind all the time. I just feel sorry for him. The day after the murder, Carter and his brother-in-law, Graham Henry Savage, stuffed Clayton's body into a 44-gallon drum, intending to dump the lot in the river. But when they arrived, it was low tide, making the disposal of the drum impossible. They then drove the body to a quiet area of Redland Bay, dug a hole, removed the body from the drum and buried it in a shallow grave. Carter brought garden lime for what he thought might speed up the decomposition of the body. In fact, it worked in exactly the opposite way and preserved the remains. This drastic mistake helped the police enormously in identifying Philip Clayton. A massive police hunt headed by detectives from Brisbane began for Clayton when he hadn't turned up at his home after 2 weeks. Almost a month later, detectives exhumed the body of Clayton from its shallow bushland grave. A post-mortem revealed that Clayton had been brutally beaten to death with a baseball bat, which was later found in the Logan River at South Maclean. "It was the most vicious beating I have ever seen," said Detective Senior Constable Craig Hinds, the officer in charge of the murder, as he viewed the remains of Philip Clayton, who had died without a bone left intact in his body. If Clayton hadn't been murdered, he could have been easily run over back and forth by a bulldozer. Detective Hinds had begun his investigation after receiving cryptic but believable anonymous information that a man had been killed by another man named Frank. During the following 2 weeks, Detective Hinds was able to build on his information and identify the killer and his victim to the stage where the homicide squad was called in. We still had nothing concrete to that there had been an actual murder committed. We still didn't know the name of the deceased or even had a body until I obtained information that a Frank Carter had worked with a Philip Clayton in an Ipswich Colliery's Hinds said. After Carter was tracked down by members of the Bureau of Criminal Intelligence, police made the arrest. Carter was in a car being followed by police and attempted to elude them by driving in a reckless manner. Detectives believed that they were dealing with a dangerous armed criminal and had no hesitation in calling in the tactical response group. Detectives planned to call on Carter to surrender peacefully when the TRG arrived, but Carter had other ideas. He took off at high speed and was eventually cornered in a busy street and arrested at gunpoint. After his arrest, Carter led the police to the remains of Philip Clayton's battered body. Carter was charged with murder and two armed robberies and break and enters. Carter pleaded guilty to all charges and was sentenced to life in prison, where he became one of the jail's heavies. After several attempts to escape, Carter was transferred to Brisbane's brand new Sir David Longwood Jail in Brisbane, where he planned a mass breakout with a team of fellow murderers. When the escape was foiled, Carter believed an inmate named Scott Wallace had informed on him. On the 26th of January 1990, drunk on prison home brew and armed with carving knives from the kitchen, Carter and two fellow assassins set upon Wallace in his cell and stabbed him to death with 20 wounds to the face and neck. Carter was again charged with murder and transferred to Moreton Prison, where was seven of the most dangerous murderers in the Australian penal system. He staged a successful escape, but all of the escapees rounded up within a week, and Carter had 6 months for unlawful escape added to his life sentence. At his October 1991 trial for the murder of the alleged informer, Scott Wallace, it was revealed that the luckless Wallace had nothing whatever to do with informing on Carter and that the escape plot had been discovered by guards on a routine parole. Sentencing Carter to life for a second brutal murder, Mr. Justice De Jersey said, "You have now brutally murdered two human beings, and due punishment demands you spend the rest of your life behind bars. I believe that you will kill again on the most trivial provocation. You are never to be released, no matter the circumstances." But Francis James Carter, vicious double murderer, prison escapee, and once named the most dangerous man in Australia, was released on parole 4 days ago. In fact, last Wednesday.
That is unbelievable.
It's extraordinary.
He's murdered two people.
Yes, viciously.
Yeah, murdered two people. Yep. And escaped from jail.
Yep.
And they've let him out.
And they've recommended he never be released. Yeah. He's, no matter the circumstances.
So what's the story?
Well, I'll tell you this, and in typical Queensland fashion, I've desperately tried to have dealings with the Queensland Corrective Services. Queensland fashion, which is to refuse to answer any questions at all about such matters, such as how long and strict is the parole, for instance. Queensland Corrective Services, the Southern Queensland Correctional Centre, and the Department of Justice and Attorney General all refused to even confirm or deny Carter's release. They did the same with child killer Barry Gordon Hadlow, who we've dealt with on this program before, who found God in jail and was released after a similar period to Carter and murdered another little girl in identical circumstances, was sent back to prison, fortunately died of old age in prison. So we can only wonder at how many Frank Carter is capable of killing if he has a drink. But Queensland Attorney General Jared Bielke released a statement saying he had requested urgent legal advice relating to the matter. We are committed to making this state the safest place to raise a family. Can you believe?
Really?
I'll read that to you again. I'll run that by you again.
This is the Attorney General.
We are committed to making this state